TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 105, Thursday, 26th of April, 2007. Show with Dolph Networks. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show, developer and Microsoft MVP Anthony Park joins me to talk about his MC browser application, which is a great application for getting web content via Media Center, so you can use it on a 10-foot display, and works on the Xbox 360 too, so it's a great way of getting websites up onto the TV via the Xbox 360. So we're going to be talking about his application and how it works and how it progressed. We'll also be talking about his mail application for Media Center, Vista Media Center, so you can read things like Gmail directly from Media Center. It's an open source application. So it's going to be great talking to Anthony. I have details on my new book, email into the show, and some news items. First to an email in response to an email I read out last week on the show, and I always love it when people respond to other users' questions and cries for help, and I think it's one of the best things about doing this show is getting that communication. Last week I read out a program about a display problem on a dual monitor system, so if you go back and listen to show 104 you'll hear that. And here's a resolution to a problem where Media Center is not displaying correctly on the second display on a Media Center PC, and the second display was a HDTV. This is from Dave Snaith. And he says, "Hi, I run both Media Center 2005 and Vista using dual monitor. During the setup, I remember the wizard asking if the Media Center shell was displayed on the correct monitor. This is then stored in the registry key under HC Current User Software Microsoft Windows Current Version Media Center Settings MCE Per User Settings /Monitor. And I'll include a link for that. I'll include the details of that in the show notes, so you can not have to try and work out where you're going from what I said." And he says, "If you don't have this key, add it as a string value with the value of display 2, and like I said, I'll include the details for that. Note that this will only work if the monitor is enabled at the Media Center shell startup. Thanks, from Dave Snaith." So thanks for the email, Dave. I think what he's saying there basically is where we had the screens kept, the Media Center kept defaulting to the wrong display, the primary display, not the secondary one. This registry setting holds where Media Center is displayed, and it's well worth having a look at that. User warnings about messing with registry settings, you do it at your own risk, and take care you don't alter the wrong thing. I'm not sure if there's a way of actually resetting this by going through the Media Center setup wizard, certainly in Vista Media Center. I'll have to have a look at that. But thanks for the tip, Dave, and it's great to it's great to get other users sorting out problems for listeners. And this week, for answering that, you get a copy of MCE Phone and Pamela, the digital assistant for Skype, because that was great help to that user. So thanks a lot for that. Now to an email from Rodney. He says, "Dear Ian, I'm really stuck and need some help. I have a Dell 9150 system with Media Center Pentium 2.8GHz processor, 1GB RAM, 250 serial ATA, and an ATI Radeon X600. I bought it, followed the instructions for loading the card and the drivers for the TV card. Everything is okay apart from one thing. When I have the TV in Media Center in full screen mode, it's okay, but when I reduce the screen size, the picture disappears. I'm left with a blank window, but the audio is okay. The same thing happens when I enlarge the screen. It also happens when I change channels in excess of 4 or 5 times. I've had no help from Hopag, and Dell says it should work. So at present, I'm up the Swanee. Can you offer any advice, as the card is really what I want for my system, and I made sure that my system can cope with it before I bought it?" It's from Rodney. Well, my first advice to Rodney was get the latest drivers for your TV card and for your graphics card, the Radeon. But I think he's actually done that and got the latest drivers anyway. He hasn't really come up with a good solution. So if anybody else come across that, so the problem seems to be when you're a full screen mode, Media Center, everything's fine. If you then window it, put it into a window, you get a black screen, but the audio continues, and which you could probably live with because it's not, you know, it's not every day that you do that. But the problem with changing the channels four or five times and then it going blank is definitely an issue. So if anybody has got any suggestions on that, please let us know. Send your email into ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'll be very pleased to help out Rodney. Now, finally for the email this week from Randy Harris. It says, "Hi Ian, I just had to do my first complete install of Media Center XP 2005 since I installed my box a couple of years ago. And your MC backup really made it great when it came to getting Media Center back and how I had it configured previously. One small note in case you didn't know this. When I restored with MC backup, it left the default recorded TV folder to the My Documents folder in the C drive, but I had mine previously specified to the D recorded TV. As far as I know, that's the only setting that didn't bring over the restore. Thanks for the great work, Randy Harris in Phoenix." Thanks for the email, Randy. It's great to know that people are using some of the tools, and as we're going to talk to Anthony about, when you've developed something for Media Center or anything, it's always great to know that someone's using it. The reason why the recorded TV setting doesn't change is because the program actually respects Media Center's recorded TV. So if Media Center thinks recorded TV is in the C drive, then that's where it leaves it, and so on. So it doesn't change that for you. You can go into Media Center and change it, and then it will be fine with that. But thanks for the email, Randy, and it's great to know you're using it. Oh, and MC Backup is completely free, and there's a download link in the show notes. It works with XP and Vista, and you can use it if you're rebuilding your system with Vista and you had XP before. You can use it to transfer your series records settings, which is what I use it for mainly, is when I did a clean install of Vista on my main Media Center box, and I did use MC Backup to take a backup of it, of the recorded TV series settings, you know, everything that you spent hours building up a list of programs you like recording and all the settings that go with that, so it keeps all that. The big news this week for me is that my book is ready to go and available to purchase via Amazon. I'll link for that in the show notes. Like I mentioned before, it was a great experience writing the book, and obviously it's a pleasure writing a book on such a great product like Media Center. I've learnt a hell of a lot about Media Center while doing the book, and I came across some interesting settings that sort of I wasn't aware were there, or sort of always overlooked at least anyway, especially around some of the TV settings. But in fact, what I've decided to do, I'm going to do a video series to accompany the book, showing off some of the features that I found as I was going through the book. Also, working with Tony Campbell, who's the co-author of the book, was great too, as Tony's written lots of books and of Vista Beyond the Manual and lots of other books, so it was great working with him. So you should see the book available on Amazon now, and it should be in bookstores, or at least in Waterstones anyway, in the UK in a couple of weeks. And I'm looking forward to going into Waterstones and seeing the book on the shelf. For anybody that's in the UK remembers the old Yellow Pages advert, it's a bit of a J.R. Hartley moment. Anyway, the book is aimed at beginners to get them started in Media Center, and if you're a more advanced user, there's a lot of settings and things in there that the book will help you with as well. So it really does cover a sort of wide range of audience. So I thought I'd list a couple of the features of the book. Things like introduction to Media Center if you're a new user, what's new in the Vista version of Media Center, upgrading from XP, connecting your PC to a TV using various cables like HDMI and VGA and all these other options, a bit on network configuration, and setting up TV with it being set-top box or a DVB-T card or an analog card, a bit on working with recorded TV and series records and those kind of things, and playing DVDs, burning DVDs, working with playlists, video, music, radio. Plus lots more anyway, but it's a really good accompaniment, or I like to think it's a good accompaniment to Media Center to get the most out of your Media Center investment. Best of all, on Amazon.co.uk, it's only £7.19, so it's not going to break the bank anyway. I'm going to be giving a couple away in a few weeks' time, so I'll let you know on that one, and look out for the video show soon. Last month on my blog, I asked about what features would you like to see added to music in Media Center. I got some interesting replies. It's quite good to see a lot of thought and a lot of attention gets paid to the TV section in Media Center, but I know the music section is used by a lot of people, and I thought it would be nice to see what kind of functions it should be added. So here's a few. Music playback in a Media Center, be able to jump to a specific point. I think this is good if you're listening to listening to the show and you want to skip to a certain section, as I do the show notes and I put the detailed time, to be able to go straight to that rather than having to fast forward through it. I think that's a really good idea. What I think would be nice as well is if it remembered that, so that you could listen to, say you listen to the show today and you listen to half of it and you've got to go and do something else, and when you come back later it just carries on, like TV works anyway. Another thing that was asked for was default song or playlist for when you do a photo slideshow. So rather than going into music and selecting a playlist, then going to pictures and picking your pictures, Media Center would kind of have a default playlist that you have for viewing slideshows, so you could go straight into it, pick your pictures and pick your slideshows, and you could change that as well. So that's a nice suggestion. Boolean searches within Media Center was another request. The example given was Beatles or Monkeys, so you can kind of build up this list, or you know, you build up your playlist in music that way. I know you can do a sort of similar kind of thing by going to Media Player, Windows Media Player, and creating playlists like that, but it'd be nice to do it in directly in Media Center. Another thing that was asked was improved search performance. I think the Vista's performance is vastly improved over the XP edition, but still people with huge libraries would like to see an improvement on that. And an improvement in the online music database as well. The example given on that was often new CDs are released and you put it in your Media Center PC and it's not recognised it yet because the sort of the metadata has not been updated on the provider that Microsoft uses, so it would be nice to get them to improve their performance. I think this is also can quite often be an issue in the UK, where you get UK editions and they're not the same as the US editions. A big one that I've mentioned on the show before is improved thumbnails in music. You know, using a large display, 50-inch LCD or plasma, and you've got 200 by 200 thumbnails when you're in music in Media Center, isn't very nice when you want to see a good high definition image. So that's definitely one request. Integration with some music services like more than this, like Music IP or Music Brains, and someone mentioned Last.fm. So you can build this social networking side of Media Center, so that you know you've got music recommendations and those kind of things. That'd be nice to see something like that, and that, I guess that's one for the third-party developers as well. And someone else asked for music video integration. So rather than music videos being treated as just standard videos in Media Center, they're actually treated as music videos, so you can create playlists and by genre and those kind of things. So I kind of get the same experience as you do with music, but with the video as well, because there's some, you know, video downloads is become more and more popular. Better integration with Zoom in a Media Center. I wish I picked up a Zoom when I was over at CES earlier on in the year, so I could play around with it. In the UK, they're not available, and you can get them through eBay and things. I would have preferred to get one while I was over there, but a lot of people have asked for a better integration, so maybe the Zoom store with the 10-foot interface, so you can, you know, you don't have to move from Media Center to work with to purchase your Zoom tracks. And finally, one for system integrators, something we talked about last week on the show with Jules Jacobson, is Whole House Audio Sings Whole House Audio. And I'm sure there are many other things that people would like to see, and the post is there on the digitallifestyle.com. Just go and add on to that post. But it's something to consideration. You know, Microsoft do listen to users' feedback, so if you feel passionately enough about a feature, if you let them know, then okay, it might not be on the next version, but it's certainly going to be heard anyway, your request. IPC have launched an in-car PC system, which look really nice. Something that I'd love to have is better integration with PCs in my car. Now, way back, well, 2 years ago, on one of the other shows, we talked about an enthusiast that had fitted a media center PC into a car, but they're actually launching a proper in-car system, off-the-shelf system that auto installers can install into the car for you. And it's a great system based on Windows Vista and Media Center, and featuring OneVoice as the voice control, so you can control it when you're driving. I think it's a great idea, being able to have that sort of intelligence in the car. It's not particularly expensive either. I mean, it has some great features. Obviously, it's got touch screens, it's got GPS, voice control by OneVoice, mobile access with, you can put a mobile phone SIM card in there, so you can get data access. It's got AM, FM, XM radio, DVD, you know, all the power of a PC basically in the car. You can get your email, it syncs up and everything else. It seems a really nice idea, and except from the prices I've initially seen, it doesn't seem too expensive. In fact, I'm going to have an interview with them on a future show, and we're going to talk about what kind of features it has and how easy it is to get a PC going in the car. Because there's a lot of things like hard disks and things you wouldn't think would work necessarily well in a car. So I'll be interested to hear that. It would be better than me strapping my Samsung UMPC onto the dash anyway. Finally, this week, Microsoft has released the 2007 cumulative upgrade for Media Center for Windows Vista. And it includes several bug fixes, a few improvements, and there's a 64-bit version and a 32-bit version. It's available via Windows Update. And in fact, my Media Center PC installed it overnight automatically and rebooted, and it appears fine. I haven't found any issues with it so far, and one of my other machines, my test machine, has installed it as well. There's some bug fixes in the update, as well as some new features. Some of the improvements are online media support has been added for the 64-bit version of Windows. So if you go into the online media, which is the Vista version of Online Spotlight, you actually get the full online media experience for your locale under 64-bit. Video playlist support has been added for Media Center extenders. Improvement into the caching has been made. There's a whole lot of fixes in there as well. So it's worth installing. I think Microsoft do a pretty good job releasing these updates as kind of a cumulative pack, and it's better than getting the single downloads. I'll let you know if I have any problems, but I've not come across anything so far. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep your email coming in, because I do like reading them out, and it's great if you can help somebody out. The forums are on thedigitallifestyle.com, so check those out. I'll take a message from OneVoice, and I'm back with Anthony Park.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit, allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Anthony Park, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thank you.
People may know you from the main thing that you're known for is the MC Browser application for Media Center, which I know I've used to get web pages up onto my TV through my Xbox 360. So a really great application. But before we delve too much into that, first, what's your background and how did you get into Media Center?
Let's see. We were at Best Buy or something, or one of those local retail stores, and my wife she saw one of those little digital media servers, you know, the $100 to $150 plug into your TV things, and you can view your music and pictures and stuff like that. And she thought that was the coolest thing. And I said, well, you know, if we're gonna do this, let's do it right. So we started looking at media centers and what it would take to put something like that in. And that was back in 2004, early 2005 area. So I don't know. It just seemed, we looked at Media Center and a couple of different other products that were competing at the time, and just thought Media Center was a really good solution for the family and in the home. So that's what we decided to go with. It just seemed to make a lot of sense.
So what made you decide to go with that?
It just seemed to make a lot of sense. You know, I could hook up it up to my existing setup, use my own, you know, use my WMA formats for my audio, and it seemed to have a good plug-in model around it. You know, people were developing plug-ins all the time, and there was a couple out. There weren't very many at that time, but there, you know, there was quite a few around that people had developed, and it seemed to be gaining momentum and a popular product, so that's what we decided to go with.
And did you sort of have a sort of PC background? You said, you mentioned about WMA. So did you have sort of all your music on the PC before you got into Media Center?
Yeah, most of it. Yeah. Since then, we've put it all on there, but we had stuff here and there before that.
I think that happens with sort of a lot of people that go into Media Center. I was probably the same. You know, had scattered amounts of music on the machine, you know, some of my favourite tracks, but over the last, you know, few years in Scott Media Center, everything has to go on there now, and you know, I couldn't imagine listening to the CD, you know, actual a physical CD anymore. Everything has to go through Media Center.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you've been using that for a while, so it's about 2004. What made you then want to look at developing applications for Media Center?
Well, I mentioned, you know, we sort of looked at some of the plugins and stuff that were out, and I had used some of the other plugins that were around at the time. You know, MCE Weather was one that we thought was pretty neat and used quite a bit, and a couple others, I can't even remember what they were. But it seemed like a really, really neat model for developing plugins, and we had used a couple that were free, and so I sort of thought, well, you know, and I was a software developer, so you know, sort of into that stuff, and I just sort of wanted to contribute something back to the community, to the Media Center community. So that's what got me interested in writing something.
So you say you're a software developer. So what's sort of your background in software development?
I've been a software developer for about 10 years. I started mostly in the aviation industry, working on decision support systems for Sabre Airline Solutions. And more recently, I'm working for JP Morgan Chase as a software developer.
So no Media Center, it's working there, but the stuff that you've learned already was something you could put to use for Media Center.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my day job really has nothing to do with Media Center, but, you know, I'm a software developer, so I like tinkering with stuff on the side, and just developing stuff. So
yeah, I know what you mean. That's kind of how I got to do Media Center development. It's I think that's one of the appeals of the Media Center platform, is because it's based on Windows. You can turn your hand to turn your developer skills into working on an application like Media Center and get sort of like up onto the 10-foot interface.
Yeah.
And so was MCE Browser the first application that you developed, or have you worked on other stuff before that for Media Center?
No, that was the first one. You know, I knew I wanted to write something. I didn't know what, you know, so I kind of looked around to see what people were asking for and what would be something that people wanted for Media Center. So I evaluated a couple different ideas. There was about six or seven I came up with, and, you know, sort of ranked them based on what I thought was personally interesting to me and what people thought would be something that was a little complex and something that just people wanted in general. And the browser seemed to be something that was pretty asked for, and a lot of people wanted it. So, and there were some opinions out there that it would be difficult to do. So that sort of intrigued me, and that's what I decided to do.
So tell us a bit about how MC Browser works, how you operate it.
Well, it's essentially a wrapper around the Internet Explorer ActiveX control. And the difficult part was that, you know, the MC Browser actually has to look into the page that it's displaying and even modify it in some cases. When you browse to a page, it loads the page up and analyzes all the elements in the page and builds sort of a list of the navigable controls on the page. Once it builds that list, it allows you to navigate using the remote control to select links or text boxes or buttons or things like that so that you can actually control the page. And it actually inserts a little div element into the page so that it can highlight those elements as you scroll through.
Right, see, so the challenge there, you're displaying the web page, but of course using the remote, you know, you've got to be able to interact with it. So you've come up with a way of being able to navigate these web pages just with the remote.
Yeah, that was the whole goal, is so that you could do this, you know, to support zoom in and zoom out, so you can see it from a couch 10-foot setting, or, you know, to just allow you to work the whole thing using the remote control.
Yeah, and I must say it works really well. I've used it on my PC, and it's a great way of navigating. You know, if you just wanted to check, you know, some pages without going too deep into them, it's really handy. One of the things that I noticed that works really well is on the Xbox 360. Was that something that you planned, or is that something that sort of just happened because the way that you developed it?
Oh, it completely caught me by surprise. I didn't even think that, you know, it would be as popular as it has been on the Xbox 360. You know, as soon as it was released, people started using it on the extender. Well, you know, I think the initial version didn't even support the extender. And I just had like a V1 extender, the Linksys product. And so in the next version, I made it support the extender, and then it just took off like crazy on the Xbox 360. And I think that's where it gets the most usage today. But, you know, I had to go out and buy an Xbox 360 to support it, make it work.
I suppose you had to make sure you tested a few games on it as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's funny, we've talked about that on the show in the past with the other developers that say they've had to go and get Xbox 360 to test it out on, and I was the same, I had to get one there. But of course, it's the only way really to view web pages properly on an Xbox 360, or the only way I know of.
Yeah, it's the only method out there right now.
And of course, a lot of people ask for sort of a web browser built into the Xbox 360, but you know, it's great when you've got the Media Center, you can just download the free application, you've got that functionality straight in there.
Yeah, it works with the Xbox. You know, I had to do a little bit of work to make it work with the Xbox 360 controller, in case that's all you have, if you don't have a remote control.
So what kind of changes do you have to do to make that work?
I'm trying to remember. There were some JavaScript changes that I had to make. This is a MC Browser is a hosted HTML application, so most of the remote control input is handled via JavaScript and then passed to the ActiveX control that hosts the browser. So I think there were some JavaScript changes that I had to make, and there was also some trickiness with the Internet Explorer control, because in some cases it would capture some of the keystrokes. So I actually had to install a keyboard hook into, like, a computer-based training hook into Internet Explorer to capture some of the keystrokes and pass them back to the JavaScript. So there's some things like that I had to do to make it work.
It's remarkable how well it works, really, and how I've got a clear large screen LCD, and it's really good. I mean, I don't really need to use the zoom in because you can read everything through it, but it's so handy for just checking a web page without having to get up and go over to a PC or whatever. You can just pick it up through there.
Yeah.
So in terms of popularity then, I mean, it's got to be one of the most downloaded applications out there. Has it had a fair number of downloads?
Yeah, I think it's been on. Well, initially I released it on my website, and you know, after the first 2 or 3 weeks, I exceeded my bandwidth limit, and my ISP shut me down. So I set up a.
It's good to be popular.
Yeah, I set up a download.com account, and it's been on there ever since. And I think it's almost at 50,000 downloads in about a year.
That's great. That, I mean, it must be a great feeling to know that you know, people out there that are downloading your application and getting good use out of it.
Yeah, it feels good to contribute something to the community and build something that people think is useful.
I mean, if only you were getting a dollar a download. But so I guess it's something that's the popularity of it's really caught you out then.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that.
And how much sort of time did it take for you from sort of coming up with the initial idea to actually implementing getting the versions out there? How much time have you spent developing it?
The initial version, I think, was about 3 or 4 weeks of, about 15 to 20 hours a week. So
that's a considerable amount of your own personal time then.
Yeah. And mostly on the weekends and evenings.
And I think it was back last year, wasn't it? You were rewarded with a Microsoft MVP, Most Valued Professional. Was that for your work on MC Browser, or was that from other community work that you've been doing?
I think mostly from other community work. I was awarded in January of this year, so about 2 months, a couple months ago. And I run a local user group here in Phoenix for software developers, and I'm pretty active on some of the Media Center development news groups, and I've given a couple presentations about Media Center development at local code camps and user groups and stuff like that. So I think it's mostly for online and offline community involvement type stuff.
Right. I mean, it's well deserved, but interesting you mentioned about doing the presentations. How do you approach doing that when you're talking to sort of experienced developers, but you're introducing them to something that could be a new concept in the Media Center?
Yeah, it is a new concept. I mean, for most developers, of course, a lot of developers know HTML and JavaScript, so, the older method of hosted HTML applications seem to be a little easier for most developers to grasp. So the first couple presentations that I did were around that development model and introducing Media Center and what it is and what it means, that it's a 10-foot interface and that has some design considerations, and just doing a simple Hello World type application and building on it from there seems to work pretty well. More recently, I've been working in the MCPL, Media Center Presentation Layer framework, which is in MCML, the markup language. And that seems a little more difficult for developers to grasp initially because it's fairly different than other development models. But, same approach there, just introduce the Media Center, what it means, what the UI considerations are, and then build a simple Hello World application and build on it from there.
And do you think that the developers are seeing the opportunity for 10-foot interfaces and applications for 10-foot interfaces?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ideas out there for new plugins and new applications, and as soon as people see it, they can immediately think of three or four things they think might be useful to see from their couch,
I think that's part of the way Media Center gets a lot of interest from developers is that it is one of those applications where you think, well, how would I use it? I mean, I did the RSS reader for XP, and that was just because I wanted to read RSS feeds, so I did it. And I guess the MC Browser was similar for you as well. It's something that you would use.
I don't really use it very much anymore. I did it first, and I don't know. I still think it works good, and it's good, and I'm committed to supporting it going forward. looking to come out with a new version pretty soon here.
Right. I mean, I should say as well that the MCE browser was originally designed for the XP version of Media Center. Will it work on the Vista edition?
Yeah, it'll work on the Vista edition. When I released, I think it was version 2.2, I added support for Windows Vista. However, it will not work on the 64-bit version of Windows Vista, which is one of my current problems I'm working through.
Right, yeah, so I know what you mean. It's an ActiveX issue, I think.
I'm busily converting those to 64-bit ActiveX controls. So.
But if you've got the 32-bit version, it should work fine on that.
Yeah, the 32-bit version of Windows Vista, it works fine, and that's what I'm using here at my house now.
And you made an interesting post on your blog about MCE Browser running on a yacht. Could you tell us about that?
You know, I don't know much about it other than what I posted on my blog, but, you know, this gentleman emailed me and said, you know, he had a couple questions about how to add MCE Browser to the start menu and stuff like that, and he seemed to indicate that he was using it on a boat or something, and so I emailed him back and asked for a little more detail on what he was doing, and it turns out he's using this on his yacht I guess he rents out his yacht or loans it out or something. And he has all this documentation about the yacht in PDF files. So he created a local web page with links to all his PDF files and all the documentation and stuff, and then uses MCE Browser to host that so that you know, people that use the yacht can look up information about the boat and stuff like that.
Right.
So thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. This comes down to sort of those when developers do applications and then other people pick up and run with them and use them in scenarios that you hadn't originally envisioned. I guess you didn't envision it being a yacht-based application.
No, or even a host for like documentation. I didn't even consider.
But it's such a good way of doing it in such, you know, using the 10-foot interface to read documents, and I guess that they can control all this with just the remote, and you don't need keyboards and mouse and other stuff in somewhere like a yacht where you've got sort of constrained space.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really nice. It's nice to hear back from people that are using your application and like you said, sort of coming up using it as a document browser when you hadn't even considered that when you were developing it.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise.
it's pretty interesting. There's a nice piece on your blog about it, so I'll include a link for that in the show notes as well so that listeners can check that out.
Okay.
Now, the other application that I kind of stumbled across, and I don't know how I missed this one, was MCE Mail. I was looking on Coplex for source code, and I sort of came across this application. So first of all, tell us a bit about the application. What is MCE Mail?
MCE Mail Box is a Vista Media Center plugin developed using the MCPL model, and it's essentially a POP3 client, but it also supports secure POP3 protocol. So one of my targets was for it to work with Gmail, and there seem to be a lot of people out there that have Gmail accounts that can't check them on Media Center. So that was one of the goals with that. And Gmail supports secure POP3 access, so I wanted to make sure that I included secure POP3 access. So it essentially lets you look at your email inbox, view messages, and then if you get a new message while you're using Media Center, it'll pop up a dialog with the new message information and allow you to view the message or jump to your inbox from that dialog.
It's a really nice, neat application. It's exactly that use that you just mentioned then that I found it interesting, because I use Gmail, and it's another way of getting your Gmail, and I've thought of other ways of doing it through their RSS feed and things like that, but this works really well, and it makes good use of the Media Center markup language. It really does, you know, it feels like a Media Center application rather than a HTML application.
Yeah, that was the goal. It was originally developed as a hosted HTML application, but never quite to the point where I could release it. I originally created this app to use as a demo application when I was doing my media center presentations. And we would develop this app or parts of it as part of the class, you know, the session, the training session. So that's sort of was the idea, because it demonstrates well the different pieces or the different types of applications that you can write for Media Center. You know, you can write a background service that it checks your email and pops a dialogue every so often or whatever. And then you can write a UI that interacts with that background add-in and displays the information and stuff. So it seemed to work really well as a demo.
Yeah, it definitely does. And why put it up on Codeplex? What is Codeplex for anybody that's not seen?
Codeplex is an open source library that's run by Microsoft. Anybody can request an account on Codeplex. I think the projects have to go through some kind of approval process, but you know, it's pretty quick. And then you can use Visual Studio, and the team software that's in Visual Studio to check in files and check out files that are on Codeplex. So it has integration with IDE, and you can, you know, just post your files out there. You pick a license, an open source license that you want to use to license the code, and then just run with it.
And have you found that most people are downloading the application and just using it as a you know, an account like I am, like, is it for Gmail? Or are you getting people going through the source code and sort of looking into that and talking to you about the source code?
You know, it hasn't been out there very long, so I haven't received a whole lot of feedback, but there is no, you know, it's still in like an early version. There's not even an alpha installer yet. So most of the requests I get are for somebody to have, you know, for me to send somebody an installer or something so they can try it out. And, you know, I'll be releasing an alpha installer in the next week or so to get it up there. But, you know, I haven't really gotten any comments about the source code yet. But my hope is that, you know, people will – there's not very many examples out there about using Media Center markup language or anything like that yet. So it was just sort of an idea that let's get some code out there. Let's get some community contributions to it. You know, let's get an example out there for people to take a look at and play with. And it's something that a lot of people understand, is a lot of developers anyways, you know, how you'd go about checking a POP3 email inbox. You know, I think it's a pretty common knowledge type app. So it's easy for people to understand what it's doing.
Yeah, so if you can understand the concept of, you know, if you were a developer and you know how to write a POP3 client, then what you're looking at here is the how the implementation is within Media Center. So yeah, I understand. So rather than go for something overly complex that would be difficult to understand all around, at least you've got, you know, they've got the concept clear, and then it's looking at the implementation side of it that developers can sort of get into.
Right.
And probably by the time this show is aired, then you'll have the alpha version out. So are you looking for feedback, and what's the best way of getting feedback if listeners are, you know, are trying it out and want to get in touch?
You know, the best way is actually to post something on Codeplex. I think there's like a forum underneath the project, and you know, that way everything's public. People can see your comments or your questions and stuff like that. You know, alternatively, you can also email me directly, and my you know, my contact information is on my website.
It's a really nice application, a really good idea to be able to introduce people to developing Media Center. I've got some projects I'm going to start doing with Media Center, so that's one of the things I've been looking at, is how, you know, how other people are doing it, and that's a really good example.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got any other Media Center applications that you're looking to develop at the moment?
yeah, actually, I've got a couple ideas right now in the very early stages. You know, one of the first things I have to do is analyze something for feasibility. You know, whether or not something's possible to do within Media Center. Recently, I've evaluated two different ideas and found that they're both, I can't do them. You know, it, within the, you know, either Media Center doesn't provide the hooks then I need to be able to do this, or the third-party vendor that I want to interact with doesn't provide the data or the interface that I need to talk to it. So, yeah, I have a couple ideas up my sleeve, and you'll see something else this year, but I'm trying to decide what it is.
And I guess it's also a question of you wanting to get one thing sort of finished and perhaps out the door before you dive straight into another anyway. It can get hard work, kind of, if you're balancing lots of projects at the same time.
Yeah, I want to get MCE Mailbox out there at least in a beta before I start looking at anything else. And there's also another release of MCE Browser on the horizon. There's a couple features that people have been asking for, and there's the 64-bit Windows Vista support that people have been asking for. So I also want to get a new release of MCE Browser out pretty soon.
And do you think you'll continue with the hosted HTML way of doing that, so that it's compatible with XP and Vista, or are you just going to go Vista only for it?
For MCE Browser? Yeah. I'm stuck with hosted HTML because MCE Browser displays ActiveX controls in order to render the web page. There's no way to display ActiveX controls in the MCML, in the markup language today.
Right.
So I can't really port it to the new development framework, although I'd really like to. The support just isn't there.
Right. And plus, it's nice for XP users that they're going to get an update to the application as well. I guess that they're not going to have to upgrade to Vista to get the latest version.
Yeah.
While I was going through your blog and look at your Media Center stuff, I also noticed the woodworking projects on there. They seem pretty impressive, I've got to say. Is this something you do as another one of your hobbies?
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy, sometimes I love working on the computer, but sometimes you got to give it a break. Sometimes you just need a diversion. You're working on a hard problem or something, and you just need a diversion for a while, something to do that's not really, doesn't require a whole lot of deep thought, and I can kind of get out there in the garage and do some woodworking and relax for a little while. And that's kind of what that is for me. It's a diversion. Allows me to get out there in the garage and work with my hands and build something. It's just kind of a hobby I've picked up over the last couple of years.
Well, it looks pretty good. I was pretty impressed. I mean, my limit stretches to about putting shelves up, so I was impressed with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I suppose, like you said, it's a good contrast from doing the computer work. I like to go and do some of the music stuff because it just gives you a break and perhaps uses other areas of your brain that don't get used as much when you're developing.
Yeah, exactly.
So just going back to Media Center then, you've got your applications that you're developing. Something that I used to ask people earlier on in the shows and I've not done for a while. What kind of applications do you like to have in addition to the sort of standard Media Center stuff? Have you got any other sort of applications that you always like to download for Media Center?
I think I only have two installed right now. I use MCE Weather and my wife likes to check the weather and stuff like that. I don't really use it very often, but it is installed and we do use it. And the other one is My Movies, which seems to be pretty popular also. We use that quite a bit around. I have two children, and they have just a ton of kids movies. I don't usually watch a movie more than once. If I see it once, I don't want to see it again. But my kids could sit there and watch a movie 20 times a day and want to see it again the next day. So we use My Movies here to host all their movies and let them watch them whenever they want them.
I don't know what that is about kids that can do that. I'm a bit like you. There's a few films I can watch again, but most films, once you've watched them, that's it. But the kids just they can watch the same film over and over and over again with no problems at all.
Yeah, drives me insane.
Once you've seen the episode of Power Rangers 25, 30 times, you've definitely had enough of it. And My Movies, so you actually get your, you know, put your movies onto the PC so that you don't need to get the discs out and everything.
Yeah, we've been using Windows Home Server here. I got on the beta program for Windows Home Server, and we've been using that to host all the movies and stuff, and that thing's just awesome.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I'm on the beta program as well. I've been using it for a while, and I've started to get you know, TV files and things, all sorts on there now. And the way the backups work is brilliant.
Yeah.
And sharing of the content and everything else. But I mean, I just love it for being, you know, to know that, you know, machines are up and running, and you know, if there's any major issues, you can, you know, your hard disk goes, you can flip a new hard disk in and boot off the disk and restore the whole image, and you're back up and running again.
Yeah. So, you know, now that we have a centralized storage and we actually have a decent amount of storage space, that's when I started using the My Movies and uploaded the movies to that home server so we can access them.
So what do you do? Do you put the movies on as an ISO, or do you do the TS folder onto the Windows home server and have My Movies look at that share?
It's just the TS folder, and My Movies looks at that as a share.
Right. And then of course I suppose then you can use multiple MediaSense machines all looking at the same DVD data.
Yeah. Yeah, the Media Center or the Extender can look at that and play those movies.
And does that work well across the network then? So you could have, say, two MediaSense machines over the network looking at the TS folders, and that works, you know, fine over a network?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it works great.
And on over at an Xbox 360 Extender as well?
That's my hope. I've been having some problems getting it working, but I think it will work.
I suppose. I mean, that's the goal for most enthusiasts, isn't it? To have one home server with all the content on there that, you know, that's, you know, you can have replication if you need to on there, and then all your other machines sort of feed off that. So it just seems sort of the ultimate goal of most media center enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And before we leave the home server, have you seen any sort of development opportunities on there? Because that opens up a whole another area for development.
Yes. When I mentioned before that I had some ideas I was working on, that's one of the ideas I'm throwing around is some sort of home server plugin for Media Center, where you could, you know, check the status of your home server and stuff like that. But that's one I'm currently looking into the feasibility of. But yeah, there's definitely some development opportunities around home server. I mean, there's some things that people could do there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as the product becomes available and more developers get hold of their SDK, I can see some quite nice applications coming on there. And a sort of a media center tie-in application sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking today. The MC Browser is definitely one of my favorite applications for getting web content up onto the Xbox 360. So it was great talking today, and where should people go if they want to get hold of these applications?
Probably my website is probably the best place, which is anpark.com, anpark.com. And MC Browser is on download.com, so you can find it there too. But there's also a link from my website, and the MCE mailbox is on CodePlex, so you can search for it there. But there's also a link from my website.
Yeah, excellent. And your blog's up on your website as well.
Yeah.
And that's the best way of keeping up to date with what you're up to.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the brilliant woodwork stuff as well, which is definitely worth having a look at if anyone's interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, many thanks for your time. I do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today, and keep up with the great development work, and also the preaching to the developers out there the joys of developing for Media Center.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Anthony. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Don't forget to check out my book, Using Microsoft Windows Media Center. There's a link in the show notes, and I'm going to be doing a video series to accompany the book fairly soon. I'll see you around on the forums. I'm going to play it out with a finished track of music that I've been working on a while. I think I played it on one of the previous shows, and I'll see you next week. Bye.